Here is the next installment of the reading of Straight Life. Starting on page 29 through 30, it's the beginning of a new chapter. The chapter is called Patty, but Patty will not be appearing in this installment. She'll be in the next one. Author's note. Many people are aware that in his younger days, Art was obsessed with sex. And he talks about it a lot in Straight Life, and I'm going to include almost all of it here. But on page 29, he describes his first sexual experience at the age of 5, and I'm afraid that there are people who might find Art's fond reminiscence about a 9-year-old girl's pudenda inappropriately lubricious. So I'm going to cut those two paragraphs and insert a little musical interlude, very brief, and then I'll continue. I hope you understand. Thank you. And this is Art speaking. I had my first sexual experience I can remember when I was 4 or 5. I was still living with my parents in Watts. They had some friends who lived nearby, Mary and Mike, who had a daughter, Francie, about 4 years older than me. Francie was slender. She had black hair. She had little bangs cut across and a pretty face. And she had a look about her of real precociousness. She had a devilish look about her. And I always imagined when we got older that we would really make love like grown-ups do. Years and years later, when I was divorced from my first wife, I ran into Francie, and I wanted to ball her. But she was in love, and she wouldn't do it. In addition to Richard and my father, my grandmother had a stepson named Shorty, and Shorty's wife, Thelma, later married my father. But when I was a child, she was my aunt, and I thought of her children as my cousins. She had 2 boys a little older than me, John and Bud, and a daughter, Edna. One time I remember we were sleeping together, me and John and Bud, at my grandmother's house, and my grandmother happened to come in. She might have heard us giggling. She turned on the light, and we had the blankets off, and were playing with each other's little pee-pees. She wigged out at us. She said she was going to tell Thelma that we were evil. She was going to tell my dad. And I said, oh, please don't tell Dad. She told us that our peepees were going to grow out real long. They were going to grow out of our pants leg and trail after us down the street. And everybody was going to laugh at us and say, for shame. Thelma and Shorty lived near my grandmother, so I used to see Thelma a lot. She was sweet and pleasant, and I always wished that she had been my mother because she was very understanding and I could talk to her. Where my mother was harsh, Thelma was gentle. I felt I could get her to sympathize with me and baby me. Thelma had that typically American look, a sweet, clean look about her. She had mousy brown hair and light skin. She had a very trim body, and she was soft. Like a little dove or a little doe. She wore cotton house dresses that she made herself. They folded over in front, and she'd put a pin there, and you could always see part of her breast. I'd go around and watch her doing the dishes or the laundry, and I'd look down her dress. And when I hugged her, I would always want to put my head between her breasts. As I said, my grandmother locked the door when she went to the bathroom. And she'd leave the key in the door so you couldn't see through the keyhole. It made the idea of going to the bathroom something that was nasty, that you had to hide. But also, because of the locked door, it seemed to me that it was exciting, really evil. And I became attracted to bathrooms to see what went on in there. I started looking out our windows at night when the lights went on. And sometimes the woman next door would be in the bathroom. I couldn't see anything, but the idea that she was there excited me. I started walking around at night and looking, when I was walking, if there were lights on in the windows. At Thelma's house, the bathroom had two doors, and there were keyholes, but no keys in these doors. So I used to peek at Thelma or at Edna when they were in there and get an erection and play with myself. I would go in the bathroom after they left and play with myself. By the time I was 11, I was totally preoccupied with sex. Every time a woman bent over or crossed her legs, my eyes automatically saw her. It was constant. I never stopped fantasizing. I could virtually strip women naked as they walked by me. And then, it wasn't like it is now. They didn't have book stands or movies. You couldn't find pictures of naked women or people bawling. I couldn't. The only thing you'd run into was an occasional little funny book. They had little teeny comic books in those days, about 4x6, about Hair's Breadth Harry, Maggie and Jiggs, Terry and the Pirates, all those old cartoon people, Blondie and Dagwood. I don't know if they were made in Mexico, but that's where people got them. And they were drawn just like the funny papers, only sexy. People made love. The girls all wore little cotton dresses, and that's what turned me on. The sight of a woman in a dress that was cotton and clinging. I could just imagine what was underneath. In the funny books you buy now, sex is ridiculed and used as a tool to rank some political figure or party, or to protest. But these were purely sex magazines, and I used to get turned on by them. I started asking around if there were any girls who I wanted to actually have contact with a woman. I did have this little girlfriend who played the accordion. She was very sweet and nice. I used to carry her accordion home from grammar school, and it almost killed me because it was so heavy, but I was afraid to try anything. So I'd just rub my arm against her or something like that, rub my hand against her ass, accidentally. Some kid I knew in school told me about a girl who would let you see her and play with her. She wasn't pretty or sexy. She was real thin and tall. She had black hair and a bony face with a long, pointed nose. But her eyes had a look about them. Oh, she had a real saucy look. And just the idea that she might let me do something. I started pursuing her and talking to her. And finally, one Saturday, we went to the park and she let me look at her cunt and play with it. And she played with me until I came. I walked her home and she invited me to come over and see her, where she said we could get more comfortable. But I was disappointed, because even though it was exciting and I knew I would be after it all the time, it wasn't the way I wanted it to be. I started working on Central Avenue in 1941. I'd play at nightclubs, and some chick would come in, a black chick or a white chick, and she'd say, "Come on out with me at intermission. I'll make you feel good," or "I'll take care of you." I'd be at the Ritz Club, which was very informal, and the musicians just sat and played at the tables. And a chick would come in and sit in the chair next to me and put her hand in my lap and play with me and look at me saying, "Oh, you're sweet. I'd sure love to take you home." She might take my hand and put it on her leg, put it up under her dress. Then we go out and get in the car and go to a liquor store and get a jug, and we'd stop someplace. If she lived nearby, we'd go to her pad real quick, and she would suck on me until I came or I would fuck her. I enjoyed parts of it, but it wasn't what I imagined when I looked in windows and played with myself, and I thought that the real experience would always be denied me for some reason. There was a girl I fell for at San Pedro High. She really moved me, and I thought everything might be different with her. She had long hair that hung over her shoulders, full lips, very light skin, and a nice body, rounded, with not overly large, but full breasts. And she had pink nipples that got hard, which always denoted a lot of passion to me in a woman. She had a sexy smell, a clean smell,
And she just loved to neck and to touch.
I remember one time we were sitting in her dad's car in the alley. She lived in an old wooden house set way back on a big lot. We were playing around and we were just about to the point where I was going to fuck her when all of a sudden here comes her dad out of the house with her mother. Her mother was hysterical. Her father screamed, "We're at war!" The Japanese had just bombed Pearl Harbor and a bunch of our battleships were sunk and thousands of Americans killed. Delano Roosevelt was going to declare war.